Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.
I want to quickly talk about Survivor, because I do have a lot to get to today, surprisingly. Some days I'm like, let's talk forever about Survivor. Today, I thought it was good. I liked the merge. I was happy with who went home.
Yes.
Although, what an epic tribal council that was. Like, I really felt like there was some genuine... That's the way to leave, too. Just a good sport.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Any thoughts, you guys?
Well, I kind of hated that it was such a good sport because it made me, you know, you start to
build
up.
I was so actively hating him that I actually was like, oh, man, he's a good sport. And he had that moment on, he took Jeff's place for a second and kind of described why you're a danger. It's just, you know, it's not a good thing. It's like a curse to get this three-part idol.
No, I thought that he there at the very, very end after he was blindsided and he said, well, I hope that it was good entertainment or something like that. And I thought there's a guy who knows.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Like, I get that he was the villain. And as I watched, I was definitely like, man, not a good look.
Yeah.
But we are all looking for the villain. We all want someone to play that role. And there's no question we see enough. You know, that braggy, cocky, over the top. I'm the best of the best in the, you know, so great. He put that on, he played that role, and then it got him punted. But,
and those are the people you remember.
Of course.
They're the ones that end up starting podcasts and like having fans. So I'm sure his future is bright.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know.
He was difficult to work with, quite frankly. He was fun on the show, but it was funny as it was very clear that they were going to vote him out as he's you know, lounging on the beach, like, I'm running this game. I don't even know how I'm playing the best Survivor game of all time. And they're all like, he's not even worried. Like, he seems to be completely oblivious that no one's making eye contact with him or, you know, whatever. It was hard to see him leave in such a great way. And I actually said to John, we're going to miss him. Like, it'll be more boring with this guy gone.
Yeah, he was doing it. He was putting on a good show. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saul won't have a nemesis.
Yeah, I actually, that reminds me of how much I hate like the guy who left because he was so, like, just cruel to Saul.
And then trying to act like Saul was mean to him.
Right. That point where he pulled some tears out of his head.
Oh my God. Yeah. I really thought, is he gonna convince these people?
I don't know, but he was going for it and I give him credit for that too. I couldn't do that.
No.
Yeah, I mean, if you show me a Pixar film, I'll cry like my head right off.
Well, you gotta keep that in your mind when you're on Survivor so you can rustle up some tears.
Come on.
Yeah.
If I could act, I would be acting.
You don't think this is acting a little bit? I think you can act.
What?
I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit.
I don't know.
You ever come in here not feeling good and in a bad mood and act like you're fine?
Well.
Because I tell you something, I'm an Oscar winner some days.
I'm definitely in over my head at home right now, so there's no question.
Maybe just a relief
the
to come here.
The alarm goes on, it turns on, I'm just like, oh, God.
I feel like this, you know, yes, you have a glimpse into us and our lives and our thoughts and feelings about stuff, but there are definitely days when there's, you know, like your wife's at home. Not well.
She's hating.
You've got a million things to do, and the job is put on a show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you don't give yourself enough credit.
Well,
I need you to go on to Survivor. I really want a close friend of mine to go on that show.
Why don't you go on?
I can't. I'm too old now.
What do you mean?
10 years ago, I was like, I should go. We were owned by CBS until I was 52, I guess. Maybe. I don't know how old I was. But old enough that I was like, I'm not going on Survivor anytime soon. That's for sure. But I keep telling John. Then I was like, John, you should go on. And then I'm like, if anything happens to John.
What's going to happen?
I don't know. Things can happen. A lot of times people, you know, get hurt on that show.
Oh, you don't mean like he would, you know, have a showmance?
Oh, no. I wouldn't care. If that helps his game, it's fine.
You liar.
I know.
Such
I mean, I kind of care, but I have to
There's
spin it. I'd be like, well, yeah. Yes, he did that, you know, purely for tactical reasons. That was his strategy. All right, so let's
get to it. I'm excited. No, I want to hear what you've got.
I just have a nice, positive story to start our weekend. Yesterday we were talking about how Eva Longoria, like, stepped in and added the final $6 million to the first John Wick budget. Like, they weren't going to be able to make the movie. They're like right there. Everything's all set. They're ready to go. And they have a shortfall of $6 million. And apparently Eva Longoria just had that sitting around. They like needed a 24-hour turnaround. And she was like, yes, for a producer credit. Now, I have no idea if going forward she probably did. I'm sure she was like, yeah, let's keep this gravy train rolling. So there's just a fun story about Keanu Reeves. There's this meme, and I'm sure you guys have all seen it. It's called Sad Keanu Reeves. And people will put different things, or they post it up when they're feeling some kind of way. And he's just sitting there. And I want to say there's even one where he's like licking an ice cream cone, but there's another one where he's just sitting on a bench and he's looking down and just thinking about things. And he looks sad. He's got like a, you know, resting sad face on. And so Chad Stahelski, he is the director of John Wick.
Okay.
And he has some thoughts about the sad Keanu meme. And, oh, he's eating a sandwich, it says here in this one. I looked at it this morning. I thought maybe, remember the one where he's like licking an ice cream? I don't know. Chad says, sad Keanu and lonely. He's actually a very happy, enthusiastic, incredibly positive guy. For the record, by the way, Keanu has said of the sad Keanu meme, he's like, I wasn't sad. I was just eating and thinking. That's all. That is all. Just looks so sad.
I believe that, though. Yeah. You can be lost in thought and passing time and trying to eat your lunch. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
just sitting, thinking.
But, you know, people put stuff to everything.
Well, this director, Chad, whose name I got to go back and look at, Stahelski. Chad Stahelski not only directed Keanu Reeves in all four John Wick films, he was his stunt double for The Matrix. This is the stuntman who became, Keanu must have said, I love your ideas. I love your ideas for a movie. Yeah, let's do the John Wick idea that you have. And why don't you direct it? Now, I don't think he was a stunt guy in John Wick, because they don't mention that. But talk about a guy who knows someone pretty well. The Matrix? To be the stunt guy for that? Holy cow. So Chad, former stuntman, is now the director of all the John Wick films. He says, the John Wick vibe goes in a second. When you nail something, he's the first guy to smile, to laugh, to really just show joy. It's such a contradiction to John Wick. His smile lights up the room. Which is such a, I just felt like this is such a nice story. I love Keanu Reeves. He says, goes on, this is Chad, the director of the John Wick movies. You got to see Keanu on set. I know everyone hears the stories, but he is always there early. He's always the first one there and the last one to leave. And there's more. If you want to see it, it's in People magazine. It's a whole thing. But I thought that is a nice, positive story. There's plenty of negative stories, and I will be getting to those. But that's a nice way to start our Friday and feel like, oh, it's all good. Oh, your clock stopped.
Yeah, I
totally look at the clock in that room, in the producer's studio.
Why?
I just do. My eyes cast over there. Oh. Because I'm kind of looking, you know, between you and Maddie. And I'm like, wait a minute. What time is it? Because I thought I went half an hour too long.
No, you're good, though.
I know.
There's
100 clocks in here. And that's the one I look
that
at.
That is very odd that stopped. Yeah.
It stopped yesterday.
Oh,
Thursday, October 24th at 5:47 and 17 seconds.
How much I look at that clock.
510 says, this is a text, 800-400-3697. The day that he was sitting on a bench eating ice cream, he was in Alameda. I met him that day. He said he was filming that recent Matrix movie, Alameda Garbage Man, via app.
Hey, Alameda Garbage Man.
Thanks for taking our garbage, sir.
Yeah. I mean, you've probably picked up Maddie's garbage.
Yeah.
Don't bother going through. There's nothing in there.
No. A lot of pee pads.
Yeah. Well, you got an old dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I immediately went, why does he have those? Oh, the dog.
Right. Well, you know. Yeah. I don't always like to go.
All right. How about another fun story?
Yay!
How about another fun story? Woo-hoo! We'll just start early. We talk about Survivor. We talk about sad Keanu. Not sad at all, you guys. Keanu's good. And now, HelloFresh. The food, home delivery, box of groceries, and the recipes. They are recreating Rachel's English trifle from Friends. And I went, what?
I remember this.
Oh, do you remember? Okay, well, here's a little reminder for everybody else. Here we go.
Look at it. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. What is it?
It's a trifle. It's got all of these layers. First, there's a layer of lady fingers, then a layer of jam, then custard, which I made from scratch. Then raspberries, more lady fingers, then beef sauteed with peas and onions, and a little bit more custard, and then bananas, and then I just put some whipped cream on top.
My favorite part is that Joey loves it.
Yeah, he's like, no, I love it. It's got everything I want. Everything I want in it. And it's funny, you know, as it goes on, everybody makes their excuses and gets up from the table and leaves to go eat on the balcony or watch themselves eat it in the mirror in the bathroom. And meanwhile, there's Joey just plowing through. This is really good. It's fine. So HelloFresh is recreating this English trifle, but they're doing it without layering the meat directly into it. I know, but you don't want to do that. They're selling a Rachel Green trifle kit this Thanksgiving. And it's based on the Friends episode where she tries to make this trifle and accidentally adds beef to it like a shepherd's pie because the two pages in the magazine that she got the recipe from were stuck together. So she flips to the next page and the rest of it is the shepherd's pie recipe. So Ross figures that out, tells everyone else, but they don't tell Rachel because they don't want to hurt her feelings and they pretend to like it or find ways to get out of eating it. And that is, I mean, who among us hasn't been over at someone's house for dinner and taken the bite like, oh, this is wonderful. Thank you for having us. And go, oh, no. I wish I was hungrier because, oh, my God, I can't eat this. So they try to find ways to not hurt her feelings.
Person.
Oh, you would just like... Flip the plate, flip the table.
Well, I don't know that I'd flip the table, but yucky stuff comes right back out on. What was that?
How?
Blah.
Do you have any friends that constantly make you stuff you don't like?
No, I actually don't. But there have been times with close friends where I've been there and ate and had dinner, and there was something like one time there was some terribly raw chicken. And
you gotta say for the sake of everybody, like, this is
I felt really terrible about it because not everyone's was underdone.
Oh.
But the piece I got, I was just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, this is raw. And they swapped it out, but it was just like, oh, you know, raw chicken in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So here's what they've done. The HelloFresh has figured out a way that you can make all that has all the ingredients that you need, plus a trifle dish, which the one that she had, it was like a tall, it's like if you, you know, those little cake platforms, it's like a dish that's up on a little stem and mm-hmm. then you put a cake on it. Well, this one had sides, like you'd packed in all the stuff on it and then put whipped cream or whatever on the top. So it's like a cake dish that is tall, so you can stack all the ingredients. And then they've got a divider you can put in. You can make it the way that Rachel did and just have the layer of beef, which is weirdly intriguing.
Well, I mean, you eat turkey with gravy and cranberries.
And cranberry.
So why would that not be just as delicious to have a nice trifle mixed in with the... I'd eat it, for sure.
Mm. I mean, I'd try it.
Of course,
I definitely would. It's just that it's, you know, that the custard is probably super sugary. So anyway, it comes with all the ingredients you need, plus the trifle dish. And then there is a divider that you can put in there. Whether you choose to enjoy each recipe on its own or bravely mix them together.
I wonder who does this. Will you?
I won't.
Will you?
I've used HelloFresh.
But will you?
Well, no, because I don't want to get a whole thing.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah,
it's actually interesting because...
If you're already on the HelloFresh service...
They're getting some run.
Yeah.
So good for them. They just made the show. But I actually think most families would go, I can't make that. Everybody's going to go, I'm not eating this. And then it's been funny.
I've wasted all my time.
Yeah, but I got to feed these people again.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, you might make it separately. It all sounds good if you can separate the two items. The trifle kit goes on sale on November 4th, and it costs $34.99. So, and I put the scene from Friends up. I'm 99% sure I put that up on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. Yeah, I definitely did that. So go and check that out if you're at all interested. And I will leave you with this. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, tomorrow on Ocean Beach, the annual Leap Sandcastle competition is happening. It is free. It's open to the public. And it serves as a major fundraiser for children's art education here in the Bay Area. The competition features massive sandcastle creations. And this year's theme is out of this world. That's the theme, out of this world. So... And by the way, I'm sure you can sit down and make your own sandcastle, but we're talking about like expert sandcastle makers.
These things are remarkable. Does LEAP stand for something?
It says the annual LEAP sandcastle. I wonder if it's that, remember those LEAP books? And there was a leapfrog. They didn't say leapfrog sandcastle, but I remember leapfrog being like a big donor for our Toys for Tots.
Oh, we had tons of stuff from LEAP. Yeah, I don't know what that. Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, I don't have tons more information on it.
All right.
But if you want to head down to Ocean Beach tomorrow, it's from 11 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. And I guess they'll declare a winner. But there is also music, food, performances, just a great day at the beach. Fall at the beach. It's crisp out. That's fun. Looking at these epic things that everyone's creating. It's a really fun thing. So there you go. There's something you can do tomorrow. All right, Vinny, what's coming up next?
Great news for those of you that vape. And more after these.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit. Yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by the San Francisco Zoo. It's time for Boo at the Zoo.
Boo.
At the SF Zoo and Gardens, the city's most popular kid-friendly Halloween event, takes place on October 26th and 27th. Dress up for the costume contest, dance at the Frankenstomp dance party, see animals, and enjoy their pumpkin treats.
Oh, that sounds good.
The San Francisco Zoo, everyone.
Okay.
All right, here's what's happening. Still dark.
Yeah. Hard to tell, you know.
But the expectation for today is partly sunny. The high in town will be about 80.
Mm.
So high 70s, 80. Should be a nice day. The stupid Rams won last night. They're in our division,
and
we really don't need the stupid Rams to get a win. Now we're all knotted up. We've got Seahawks at the top of our division at 4-3, and then the Cardinals, Rams, and Niners all at 3-4. By the way, you know the Pats are the worst team in the league?
Oh, it seems like they're really trying
to
be.
They're 1-6. I mean, they're right there with the Browns.
Yeah.
Blah.
I am aware.
Oh.
In fact, John gets mad if they try and win. He's like, stop trying to win.
Oh, he really is planning a big draft for this year.
He feels like if we get the number one pick, we'll be able to trade it away for a bunch of stuff that we need.
Oh, gosh. He is a mastermind.
Is he?
Isn't he?
Or is he just spending too much time thinking about
this? Well, look, the Pats really did have a good run.
He did.
Sometimes you got to retool.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, he was a fan before the big run, too, so... Ever since I've known him, that's what he does on Sundays.
The Pats.
Just football, yes.
Right. Okay.
Mm.
Well, anyway, the stupid Rams won last night in a game that I really had hoped it was just going to be the Vikings stomping them out.
That would have been nice.
30-20. This coming weekend, boy, the Niners have had quite a few home games already, so I think we're going to end up on a long road trip, but we've got another home game.
Oh.
Sunday Night Football, Dallas. At Niners, 5:20 game time.
Oh, watch the Cowboys.
Yeah, we should. This should be good for us. But then again, last night's game was supposed to be a dud, and then the Rams, stupid Rams.
They look good. Damn it.
Stupid Rams. The World Series begins tonight in L.A. Yanks at Dodgers, 5 p.m. game time. I will try to be there for that. I do like baseball still, even though we're not in it.
It'll definitely be on my TV, but nobody in my house is like a super fan of baseball. Mm.
Well, there's nobody in your house.
Well, for as big a super fan John is of football, like he doesn't care about the Bruins. Well, I mean, he does. He sort of cares. Like, you know, I think if the Red Sox were in it, he'd probably watch it, but he'll have it on for sure. Mm. He's always got some stupid sports thing on.
I don't have a pony in that race at all, but it's star-studded.
Oh, yeah.
That's like all baseball stars.
Those are the two
stars.
Biggest markets.
Right. It's going to be worth a watch
if
you like baseball at all.
And so many people. It's America's pastime.
Jewel Esigs make the news this morning. Jewel was here in town, right here in the city of San Francisco.
This is where they started?
I believe so. Mm. And they, I don't know all of the ins
and
outs.
They went big. They definitely were one of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
J-U-U-L, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So I don't know... What happened here? The makers of Juul e-cigs settled a class action lawsuit a while back and agreed to pay $300 million in damages for not being honest about how addictive and unsafe their product is. I don't know what their marketing plan was that misled people. I'm not entirely sure. I feel like most of us, you know, one of the things was the flavors they say were attracting kids.
Yep.
And if that's the case, look, it's wrong. The getting kids that
hooked on nicotine so that you can take their money their whole
right.
lives.
They're already like impressionable in every way.
And as soon as someone says no, that's the only thing they want. Kids. That's just who they are.
Well, also bubble gum.
I know. Cherry.
Like, I get it. So Nick. I do see that. The payouts depend on how many vape pods you bought between 2015 and 2022 and whether you can prove it or not.
Mm.
A lot of people were ordering them online back then, so they still have receipts. Right. So that's a good thing. Class action lawsuits are famous for their, you know, weak payouts. There's been a few that I've been part of where I'm like, 32 cents?
Yeah.
You keep it.
Yeah, don't bother to send me that. It's going to cost you more to send it.
Vapers are freaking out on social media after getting Venmo transfers for thousands of dollars. I don't know if that's true, but this class action lawsuit is paying out.
Wow.
So
I wonder how many people were in it.
It seems like most people got a few $100.
Wow.
Several other people posted screenshots showing numbers like 3,000 or more. One person posted on Reddit after Juul Venmo'd them $9,217.
So this had to be based on what they were able to prove they had
That's
purchased.
It. And, you know, if you buy things with credit cards, you'd have receipts. If you
you'd
buy things via online ordering, you'd have the emails. But plenty of people are like... Not probably able
I got
to
the numbers for you. 14 million people submitted claims. Only 842,000 were officially validated. So 842,000 people were splitting that up.
Well, and it sounds like depending on how much they actually were able to prove how much they used. Weren't you able to buy Juul? They're like a disposable thing and you could get them at a Sevy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there were a lot of people who like, I'm not going to order that online. I don't want my wife to see that on our Visa bill or my brother or sister, you know, because the kids were using those Juuls. Man, I'm very torn on the whole vaping thing because honestly, it really helped me quit cigarettes. Like, I'm always going to be a nicotine's bitch. I will always crave it, but it made me stop actually burning tobacco and sucking that smoke down my throat. And vaping is, it's a water vapor with junk in it. It's just not as bad. And it really helped me. And I agree. It's terrible. I don't want any kids getting addicted to going to the same jail that I will be in for the rest of my life, the nicotine prison. But it's so much better. Like, how are tobacco companies still in business? But they're going to shut down vaping. That it just bums me out.
Well, I don't know how to answer that. I know I got myself into cigs because there were people around me that smoked, and we saw it on TV, and we saw it in movies, and we saw it everywhere around us. And it was something to me. Look, when I was a kid, a little kid, I saw the punkers at the skate park with cigs in their mouth and tattoos and crazy hair, and I was like, I
have found my people.
I am home, and that's unfortunate, but it's what I liked. And it's in part, I don't know if you'll relate to this at all, but it was in part both like fear-based, but also like conquering that fear. Like, I'm going to hang with those guys. Yeah. They're scary, but I'm going to go be around that. Like, it made me feel brave just being standing next to the guy with a mohawk.
With your little chicken legs dropping in,
yeah.
Looking over your shoulder like, hey, did you see that?
Well, you know what? When
mohawk
you
guy?
Impress some guy who you look up to and he's like, way to go, kid. You're like...
You're glowing from the inside out.
Give me a cigarette.
Woo, let's celebrate by getting addicted to something for the rest of my life.
So I don't know. I don't know if that makes any sense. I think, though, a lot of kids, especially in the 80s, did have a little bit of that. I'm going to do the thing I'm not supposed to do.
Well, that's kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and I hope that your kids don't grow up like that, that they don't ever have that thing. But they even say stuff like, the more lenient you are as a parent, the further your kid has to rebel to feel like they're doing their own thing. Like, if you're super strict, the kid doesn't have to go that far for you to be pissed, to feel like they're getting you. And it's kids just, whatever you say, don't do it, they're all over it.
I will say that kids are very different now. There's certainly...
They are different.
An anxiety factor that wasn't there when I was young, and there's... And it's all of them.
Yeah.
I went to pick up my daughter the other day from somewhere, and it was time for me to pick her up.
Older or younger?
The older one. And her little friend's parent hadn't gotten there yet. And her friend goes, please don't leave. And I was like,
of course.
Stay here. I'm going to go run a quick errand. I'll be right back. And I walked over to the grocery store and got something and then came back. And then the mom was there and it was cool. But I could see in that little girl's plea, it was real. It was
I don't want to be here alone.
Yeah. It was not like, it wasn't frivolous for her.
Right.
She felt like, if you guys split, I'm all alone here.
Standing here. No, that's the right thing to do.
There was a real thing there where I would have been like, okay, bye. You know what I mean? Like when you were a kid.
They're just exposed to so much. And I think when I was a kid, I mean, I grew up sort of, it was south of Boston, but it was very country-esque. There were cornfields and cows around. And East Bridgewater, Mass. It's, a lot of tract housing there now and things have changed. But it was very, I was very naive and I didn't know about all kinds of things until later in life. Like I had never, as far as I knew, I know for a fact now because they live in a purple house with their husband, that, I didn't know anything about anybody gay ever until I went to college. That was the first time I ever met someone who was like an out. I was like, oh, this is crazy.
And they have a purple house?
The guy that I was in love with all through school, Matthew Jakewith. I'm outing you, Matthew, although you're on Instagram with your husband and your purple house. So I'm going to guess everyone knows. But I was in love with that guy. And he was talented. And he was, we were in drama together and the school chorus. And I just freaking loved Matthew Jakewith. Still love Matthew Jakewith. And I would never have. I just didn't know. So I was like super sheltered and naive. And just I feel like kids don't have that at all now. And I'm not saying, that people shouldn't know about. Right. It's the internet.
You have access to all the info in the world.
And it's not just like something as simple as like, oh, my God, there are gay people in the world. Wow. That's maybe I'm one of them. But it's also just like their level of sexual savvy by the time they're a 10-year-old. Like they've seen things that as a parent, you're like, I so don't want you to. That, and you can't even handle it. As a 10-year-old, I couldn't handle that stuff.
I have, college students that I teach, and they're obsessed with Gen X right now. That's their thing. They love the 90s. They're into grunge. They're
all
this stuff.
We were the last generation to fully form without the internet.
And I've asked them why, and I've had several look at me just straight in the eye and go, you guys didn't have social media. Mm. Don't look at it as a good thing. They get like it's hurt their psyche.
Yeah. Well, the internet in general, we know too much stuff. And anything you want to know about, you just look it up. It's like there's no mystery to the world anymore. It's all stupid.
That leads me to my next story.
Okay.
Which I wasn't going to do right now, but I will because it's a perfect segue. Norway is going to ban young teens from social media to protect them from the algorithm.
Oh.
Everyone knows that social media is probably not good for your kids.
Probably.
Kind of like how we know potato chips are probably not good for us or soda. Gulp, so good, gulp, though. Gulp. Right.
I mean, potato chips and soda? What are you trying to do to me here?
Norway's announced a new ban on young people on social media. Supposedly, they will enforce a strict minimum age of 15 years old because tech companies are, quote, pitted against small children's brains.
I wish them luck, and I hope that that does save a few kids, but by and large, that's going to be incredibly difficult to enforce, and once they hit 15, all that damage can still be done. I really feel like this is...
Well, hold on. So the Norwegian Prime Minister says it's an uphill battle, but I will commend them for trying something.
At least they're on record as saying, we think this is bad for you, children's.
They say politicians must protect children from, quote, the power of algorithms. Norway already had a minimum age of 13, which is aligned with the existing minimum age requirements on social media platforms, although they have no way of enforcing that when it says put in your birth date and you can put in whatever you want.
Right.
They say this includes Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. They say it's not really working so far, but that's why they're upping the requirement. We'll see if it works.
I feel like maybe there'll be a renaissance where people outright reject it. I accept that everything that we're getting handed to us these days makes our lives easier and more convenient. And because I do believe that some of these things are addictive, like pulling off Instagram, I'll look at it occasionally. There'll be a link and stuff, but truly pulling off of it, which I have done. There's nothing there that is improving my life in any way. It's not that I don't love my friends or want to see their things, and occasionally I'll see them, but there's just nothing there. There's nothing there for anyone. It doesn't make anybody's life better, but it is addictive. The more you look, the more you want to look. The more you like things, the more you want to see what comments people made. The more you post, you want to go back, see what everyone's saying.
I would say, just to be devil's advocate, that for me, I don't stay in touch with everyone. Right. I just don't. I never have. I don't feel like it's something that I'm great at, which is juggling a lot of stuff. It's just not for me. The Instagram thing has helped me stay up on a lot of my friends in a way that I'm grateful for. So I'm not trying to say that I want my kid
that
looking
is
at it.
Absolutely valid.
But there's certainly dudes that I don't have time to catch up with on a regular basis. And when they post pictures of their kids, I'm like, oh, radical.
Like,
I love it.
Right.
How do I double like that? Because it's that now I know.
Remember, and if you double like it, you've just unliked
it
again.
But there's one of those things where, and they're like me. They're my people. Yeah. They're like me. They're not going to call either.
Listen,
they're busy.
I fully believe that, and this is how I felt about Facebook when it first started. I'm like, wow, this is actually, it's not just a way for you to connect with other people. It's a collection. It's a life album. As you go through your life and you post pictures and you put your thoughts and like that stuff's all there for you. You can go back and look at something from 10 years ago or you know, however long. And then it's even a mausoleum after you're dead. People can go there and post on your page. I was, you know, thinking about you today or whatever. Like those things are up there. I don't know what their policy is for pulling down someone who's passed Facebook page. Like, does it just stay
my
forever?
My mom's is still up and she died 11 years ago.
I wonder if it's like an activity thing. Do you occasionally post?
No. And I had never knew her password, so I have no idea how to take it down.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that is actually kind of great. Like, I used to think that
anybody
was amazing. But then Facebook, you know, got Donald Trump elected. So that, to me, it's just a massive source of misinformation. The whole internet is. You, whatever way you feel, there are solid arguments to support that. No matter which way you feel, you can get some backup from the internet. I don't know what to say about it. It really haunts me. I think about it a lot. And I really feel like the longer you can keep your kids away from that, away from all of it. It's impossible. We're busy. We work. One job's not enough. It's a rub. But there are good things about it, but also horrible things. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to hijack that with my deep thoughts on social media.
No, that's what we're talking about. Our text number is 800-400-3697. A lot of people wrote in about being part of that class action suit.
Oh, so and they got some money.
It looks like it.
You seeing any big numbers?
This was the Jewel. This is actually not even the Jewel one. The most I got in a class action is $170 from TikTok. I don't even know what that.
I did not know there was a class action suit against TikTok. And because it's free, I wonder how they can get money out of people.
Good morning, Vin. Thank you so much for sharing an update on your wife. I know she's hurting, and it touched my heart, though, when you shared that her dog hasn't left her side.
I know. Oh, my God.
Would not go for a walk.
She goes out to whiz and then just like, let me back in there.
Comes down for food, runs back up. Comes down to go to the bathroom, runs back up.
That is really
sweet. I walked in with
really
a leash and crap bags and was like, let's go. Middle of the day yesterday. Before I go get the kids, I'm going to walk you. Wasn't leaving.
So, but doesn't she need to pop one? A squat, I mean?
Yeah, she does that when she comes down to eat, and she comes down.
Put me out. I immediately
She'll
take
go
him. I'm not
back.
Sniffing around. I'm not checking
right.
my tree mail.
Did not want to go for a walk. And I was like, okay, I don't either. to be completely honest with you.
Thanks for not wanting to
you
go on
just,
a walk.
Yeah, off the hook. Next thing. Got to go get those kids. 510 says, guys, you're not great actors. We can tell when you're feeling off, especially Sarah. You actually can't, though, because sometimes it's way worse than even you think.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Like we're yes, real people with real lives who have real problems.
We have good days and bad days, and there are days when it's – most days, I will say this, most days we're not acting. We are having a ball in here. And other days, we're like you. We're like anyone. Sarah and Vinny, we're just like you. that'd be a fun meme.
Would it?
I don't know. I don't know about memes or social media. I hate it all. So you guys decide. Let me know.
Vin knows the double like means it's unlike. Stop splaining. Stop Sarah splaining to him, Sarah.
Yeah. I just thought it was so funny. He was like, double. I liked it so much. I hit it twice. I'm like, that doesn't work.
I'm just trying to say that I don't keep up with people, and it's nice that I can do that there.
It is nice. And that's the taste you get for free.
One of those things, though, that I've noticed on Facebook, and I had this little kind of moment where I went, you know how it says, people you may know, and then it'll show up.
Yes.
And I'm like, all these people I know are on there, and we're not friends. And I had this, like, what the? And then I, you know, turned it off and had to go do something. But I was like, that is, I said this to my buddy, and I go, hey, what's with, and he goes, when everybody got on Facebook, they went and found everybody. And now no one looks for anyone else anymore. Like, you're done making friends.
Right. So they're suggesting to you,
but
you've got a lot of friends in common with this person.
But no one does that anymore. No one's going to be like, you know, what are we, 15 years in or whatever it is? No one's going to be
easily.
Like, oh, there you are.
20 years in.
Friend. I went, oh.
Poke. Right.
Yeah.
Hey. What year did Facebook, actually, don't answer, make that the quiz today. Give me like a social media quiz to end the show with today.
Sure. Done deal.
Okay.
So great.
I remember when I was working with Icky at the time in Oregon.
Yeah.
And MySpace was the thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Find all those.
And I don't know the dates exactly, but Facebook was only for college kids when it started.
Yeah, you couldn't even join it.
So I couldn't join it. But there I was. Computer programming my Facebook page.
You mean your MySpace page?
My MySpace page, yes. But I felt like...
Remember that? You put a background on it. You write a little something about yourself. And
I looked a year ago, and I still had a MySpace. It was still on the internet.
Well,
it's still
didn't
there?
Justin Timberlake buy that?
I don't know if it's still up.
Somebody bought that, I
think
thought.
You're right.
Okay, you can include that in the quiz. We can.
Okay.
We'll do a social media, like the birth and death of social media. No death yet. No death in sight.
What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
Disney passes, Jamie Foxx, Diddy, and more.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice at 97.3.